Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We want to remind you of a conversation we've been having all week on trust in government and trust that the government will not overreach its power.
My name is Asia Jacobson, and I'm calling from Oahu, Hawaii, and I absolutely do not trust the government. It seems like there's way too much of a disconnect between my life and Washington.
Thanks, AJ. Disconnect, maybe, or perhaps too much connection. This conversation was motivated by the U.S. District Court decision this week to declare the National Security Agency's surveillance programs unconstitutional. Is this a conversation headed to the U.S. Supreme Court? The answer to that, according to Adam Liptak, New York Times Supreme Court correspondent, is a very strong maybe.
Well, for sure, the government's going to appeal to the Federal Appeals Court in Washington. And that court has issued decisions which suggest that they may be open to this challenge to the program. But in the end, it's up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's got decisions that point in both directions about how it may come out on this issue of whether the NSA phone program collecting up the phone records of all Americans violates the Fourth Amendment.
Will there be a plethora of challenges of individual programs involving individual defendants? And who has standing here? I mean, anybody with a phone?
There are two kinds of basic challenges. One would be someone who's prosecuted as a consequence of information gathered through this program. And that person can go into court and say, you should suppress this evidence against me because it violated the Constitution when you collected it. I don't think that's the likely way that gets to the Supreme Court. More likely is either the decision from Monday, which was brought by a conservative activist, or parallel challenges brought by civil liberties groups, the ACLU or the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which challenge it more broadly. But what's interesting about these cases, as opposed to earlier ones, is there doesn't seem to be a standing problem, because it does seem that the government has all but conceded that they basically gather up everybody's phone records.
What about a challenge from one of the private sector players here, like a Google or an AT&T or a Verizon?
It's not impossible, but for them, it's a little more complicated to demonstrate how they've been harmed. Congress has granted them immunity from lawsuits against them. And I guess they could argue, and have been telling the president, apparently, that it hurts their business, that people know that in going through them, the government might collect records. But given that every phone company's records apparently are collected, it's hard. I don't know that I have a choice but to use one of them.
Is it the case that the bar is extremely high for an injunction that would shut down the program, but a broader challenge that would retroactively kill the program is much more likely?
Well, this judge did issue an injunction, and if there is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, as he found, I don't think either retrospective or prospective relief, an injunction being prospective relief, is out of the question.
All right. Finally, what are the clues on the Supreme Court itself of people's justices' interest in this issue?
There are two basic Supreme Court decisions to look at, and they point in opposite directions. An old one from 1979 said that if you give the telephone company your records, if you give a third party your records, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy about what's done with those records. But that was done in a very different era, where an individual robber phone was monitored for outgoing calls for 2 days. And we live in a very different age now, as Judge Leon pointed out on Monday. The other interesting Supreme Court case from 2012 unanimously said that the government had been wrong to put a GPS device on somebody's car and follow him around for a month and gather up a real trove of data. That case is particularly interesting because five justices, although only in concurrences, said that gathering huge amounts of data that could provide a mosaic about somebody's entire life might well violate that person's legitimate expectations of privacy. And if you apply that logic to the NSA program, you basically get to where the district judge got, and that would suggest that it could be struck down.
The big idea here may go way beyond national security. We may end up in these cases defining what the right of privacy finally once and for all is in the 21st century.
Well, that's right. The right of privacy in the digital age is really open field. And I'm not sure most privacy advocates are eager to have the Supreme Court decided for the first time in the national security context, but it sure would be interesting to see what they have to say.
Adam Liptak, New York Times Supreme Court correspondent, thanks so much.
Good to be here.